Today we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. This is the perfect time, the start of a new year, to talk about how do we deal with New Year's resolutions. Practice makes perfect. This is a reflection for the start of 2020. I don't know if you've seen online, but there are a lot of people making a lot of public New Year's resolutions, and in fact, so many people make New Year's resolutions and declare New Year's resolutions that we actually have statistics on New Year's resolutions. Some of those statistics are the top New Year's resolutions, 50% of the people that make New Year's resolutions are going to exercise more. Can anybody relate to that? Yes. 49%, just below exercise more, 49% said they want to save money in the new year. 43% have resolved to eat more healthy. 37% said that they were going to lose weight. So over a third of the people that make resolutions in the new year say they want to lose weight. And 34% say they want to reduce stress in their life. That seems like an interesting, challenging goal, but I don't know how they're going to do that, especially if they're stressed about their New Year's resolutions. 77% of those people that are asked are either very confident or somewhat confident that they will be able to stick with it in the new year and they'll be able to accomplish their New Year's resolutions. Last year, at the end of the year, 7% said that they actually had. So going from 77 that say, yep, I got this, to 7% that say, yep, I did this. 80% of the people that make resolutions will not make it to the second week of February. Really, that gym membership that you signed up for last week, second week of February. You know, January 19th? January 19th has a name. It's officially called Quitter's Day. On average, this is when most people have given up on their resolutions for the new year. January 19th. Is that next Sunday? Goodness gracious. Okay. Well, we won't ask for a show of hands next Sunday how many of you have given up. Why do 100% of the failed New Year's resolutions fail? I would submit to you that it's because people don't have a plan to succeed. So Jeff read our scripture for the day from the book of James. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote, and one of the leaders of the early church wrote this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and forgets what he looks like. Now, some of us, as we get older, that just naturally happens. But hopefully, it takes a little bit of time before you forget what you look like after you've looked at yourself in a mirror. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So two things there. Looking intently at the law, and not just looking at it and then going away, but looking at it continually, continuing to do this, not forgetting what he has heard. That's the second part, but going and doing it. Scripture says this: I should put that into practice in my life. So it's a trade-off. I'm intently looking at it, and then I go and I do it, and then I come back and I intently look at it, and then I go away and do it. It's a dance, right? So today, I'm going to share with you three New Year's resolutions that can be applicable to every single person in this room. And I'm going to help you with a plan for how you can stick with those resolutions and not be one of those that winds up in the middle of February saying, well, so much for that resolution. I have a caution right now as well. the next few minutes, it's going to be hard work. And not just for me, but for all of us. Because there's going to be some things that I'm not going to be able to answer for you. Only you, along with God, know your heart. Only you, along with God, know what it is that you specifically need to resolve. So, let's get started. Our New Year's resolutions that I'm going to share today center on what is often called the greatest commandment. So if you're familiar with the Gospels and you're familiar with how Jesus engaged with some fairly robust and sometimes hostile debate with some of the Jewish religious leaders, Mark recounts in chapter 12 one of these encounters. So he's debating with the leaders, the religious leaders, and one of them, a scribe, came and heard them arguing. And recognizing that Jesus had answered the others well, he asked him, "What commandment is the greatest of all?" Jesus answered, "The greatest commandment is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment that is greater than these.'" So Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, here's the greatest two. And there's nothing that even comes close to these two. So we're going to take this in three parts. Love the Lord your God. So I would say that our first command, our first resolution that we need to make this year is to love Jesus. That's on your sheet, by the way. Over this past week, I read an account that was interesting. It was about a young boy that wanted to be like his baseball hero. We'll call him Jose Altuve. He wanted to be able to hit like Jose Altuve. He wanted to be able to steal bases like Jose Altuve. He wanted to be able to turn amazing double plays like Jose Altuve. So he went to every baseball game he could. And those that he couldn't, he sat plopped in front of the TV watching Jose Altuve. He went to the store and he bought the same glove that Jose Altuve used. He bought the same bat. He bought the same shoes, although smaller because, well, maybe not. Jose Altuve is pretty small. When he got up to the plate in his Little League games, he used the same batting stance that he saw Jose Altuve use. He would try to position himself on the field like Jose Altuve would, but try as he might, he was unable to be like Jose Altuve. Didn't hit those home runs to win the Little League Grand Championship, things like that. The difference was that the Little Leaguer tried to mimic Altuve's presence on the field without realizing that most of Jose Altuve's success was what he did off the field. The overall life of preparation of mind and body that enabled him to respond with strength and muscle memory during the game. So, imagine that this would-be Little League star that knew about Jose Altuve but tried to emulate him and fell short. Imagine that this young boy had the opportunity to actually be taught by Jose Altuve. He got to tag along as Jose Altuve ate his breakfast and see what he ate and actually eat the same stuff. And he got to work out with him in the weight room. And he got to take batting practice with him. And he got to practice fielding and turning double plays with him and getting advice and instruction from him. By doing these things, he would actually come to know Jose Altuve. Not just know about him, but to know him. And that would enable him to be like him. There is a vast difference between knowing someone and knowing about someone. There's a vast difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. And personal commentary here, I think that's something that the church, and maybe especially Bible churches, sometimes get wrong. Amazon and Google know about me. They know a lot about me. They know what I read, they know what I watch, they know what I buy, they probably even know what time I go to bed. But Naomi, sitting in the back, knows me. She knows when I'm having a bad day. She knows by my expression and my tone of voice whether I'm frustrated or whether I'm delighted. She knows my hopes and my dreams and my fears, and that comes because she's been walking with me and doing things with me for over 30 years. So, what is the ultimate goal for a Christian? Being a Christ follower is not just about salvation. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's not just about getting your get out of hell free card so that you can turn it in at the end of the game. It's about living a transformed life here and now. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit." Actually, who is the Spirit? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Many brothers and sisters here. So what does this look like? Can we think of some practical steps in personal devotion? I'm going to give you three that I would show you my sheet that I filled in. That's actually what I'm preaching from here, is sort of that sheet. I'll give you some ideas. You may have some others as we go through here, but I'll give you three that you can start with. So the first one, the first practical step that you can take this year is get real with Jesus. He doesn't want you to bring your perfection to him. He wants you to bring your brokenness to him so he can make you perfect. So ditch the mask. Stop avoiding him. Quit pretending. Get real with Jesus. So here's one of those questions I mentioned that only you can answer. What is the one thing? You may have lots of things in your life, I know I do, but what is the one thing that most gets in your way of being real with Jesus? That most gets in the way of your spiritual growth? Is it a critical spirit, the way you talk to other people? Maybe it's a secret addiction to pornography. Maybe it's addiction to social media, and that can manifest in any number of ways. Maybe it's worldliness, which can include places and people and situations that you put yourself in that make it hard or impossible for you to grow in godliness. So I challenge you, bring whatever answer you had for that question. Bring that to God and ask him to change you from the inside out. Ask him to lead you away from temptation. Ask him to transform you and ask him to give you a new spirit inside you. So get real with Jesus. The second that I'll suggest to you as a practical step, this year, learn everything you can about Jesus. This is all about learning about Jesus. You'll naturally progress into learning that relationship with Jesus. But you have to start somewhere. And so make it your ambition to learn everything you possibly can about Jesus. Study him, pray to him, walk with him minute by minute. Think about Jesus. So in terms of learning about Jesus, what is one thing, the one thing that you will commit to this year that's going to help you to know him better? I think Dean last week may have mentioned one of them. One possible goal is to read through the Bible in a year. Why do most people not read through the Bible in a year after they resolve to do it? It's because they don't have a plan. Thank you. So there are plans out there. If your goal is to read through the Bible in a year, get one of those plans. And I will tell you, it's good that we have technology. You can use technology to help you stay on that plan. I mentioned YouVersion. YouVersion has Bible studies. If you use Olive Tree, which is another Bible reader, it has Bible study. You can set an alarm on your phone to say, read the Bible now. But use technology that's available to help us with that. You know, I think I've got a 159-day streak on learning Japanese and Duolingo. If I can do that for a foreign language, I can do that for the Bible. Another thought, is there a Bible study that you should be attending? There are Bible studies out there. How about committing to your spouse or committing to a friend that you're going to study the Bible together? If you need some thoughts, some ideas on how to get started with that, because it's not, you know, it may not be obvious. Talk to me afterwards. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to one of your friends that you know goes to a Bible study or that you think might go to a Bible study. Hey, you have a Bible study you go to? We have a small group that meets on Tuesday nights for the ladies, and that's an opportunity. We have a Bible study that meets on Monday nights. That's an opportunity. But start someplace. All right, our third suggestion here, worship him with all your life. Worship him with all your life, not just Sunday mornings. And what does worship look like? Well, sing, dance, bake a cake, attend a meeting at work. In every circumstance, whatever you do, do it for him. And one of the things that you can do that may help in this is ask yourself, if it were Jesus standing here and not me, if it were Jesus sitting in this meeting and not me, what would he do? What does the Bible say? Go and do likewise. Yeah? Other ideas include starting a spiritual journal. You know, people find writing down thoughts and observations that God reveals to you during your study time, during your quiet time. That's often helpful. You may also commit to being more disciplined and starting your day with reading the Bible. Listen to God's voice. Quiet all the distractions around you. Just listen to what he is revealing to you. It helps set your alarm on your cell phone to go off 15 minutes earlier and just make that a habit. These are all ways you can grow in your love of Jesus for the coming year. All right, let's talk about resolution 2. Jesus said there were 2 commandments, love the Lord your God and love others. So resolution 2 I'm going to propose to you is love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever heard someone say, I've heard this, I love Jesus, it's those Christians I can't stand. As my friends in the UK would say, that sentiment is rubbish. You can't do that. Look at the person or the family sitting next to you today. That person, those people, are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We are one body. So my question is, how well do you know those people sitting next to you? You may know their name. If you're lucky, you may know how to spell their name properly. But do you really know them? Do you know what makes them tick? Do you know where they are in their spiritual life? What are their hopes? What are their fears? What are their dreams? Romans chapter 12 says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. That's a long list. And if you want to go back and look at that list again, jot down Romans 12, 4-13. So some practical ways that we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the first one that I'll propose is get to know your fellow believers. Pray for them. Mentor them. That's a word we don't often use in church. Mentor them. Get to know them. Meet up for coffee or meet up for lunch or invite them over for a movie night or to a sporting event or for a concert. Getting to know someone, building a relationship with one of your brothers or sisters in Christ is not, hey, come to church on Sunday morning so we can talk for 10 minutes before the service. Get to really know them. So, a question for some of the more mature Christians in this room. Who are you spiritually mentoring in this church? Who are you getting to know and talking with them about their hopes, dreams, and fears? Who are you encouraging to worship and love Jesus more? And for the younger people, I'll turn it around. Who in this church do you want to learn from? There's a good question for you. I know we're running short. Let me run through a few other ideas here. Get involved in the church. We often talk about giving your time, giving your talent, giving your treasure. The ministries of this church exist to love and serve each other, certainly on Sunday mornings, but there's a lot more than that. I mentioned the membership class. There's going to be a membership class in February. Details are coming. Do you need to be a part of that? Supporting missions, maybe even getting involved in them. We've talked a lot about missions here in the church. We talked about PAC in this morning. Other ideas, there's Creekside Hilltop Bible Church in Kenya that we are working with, and I would encourage you to pray, share the vision that we have with others that you know, and maybe even consider participating in a mission trip later this year. That might be a really big step, but it would be a great step. You've also got Save Your Bible Church in Tbilisi. If you want more information on that, talk to Jeff. You may sponsor a child. Every year we have Compassion Sunday. That would be one step of faith that you could make. You could resolve to do that this year. Okay, the third one, third resolution. This one's going to get some people feeling a little uncomfortable. Love the world. Now, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, but wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say don't love the world? Didn't John write, do not love the world or anything in the world? If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 13. As they were going toward Jerusalem, he looked up the hill at the city and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And then John wrote the words of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a big difference between helping pull someone out of the mud and the muck of sin and jumping in and wallowing around in it with them. So practical ways that we, the church, can love people this year. Pick an individual. It can be someone in your family, in your workplace, in your social circle that doesn't know Jesus. Make it your ambition this year to get to know them. Find out who they are, what they're going through. Be a friend to them and let Jesus shine to them through you. Don't preach at them. Just let them see Jesus in you. Be wise on social media. I know some of you, it hits home to me. It may hit home to you. Pray and search the scripture for wisdom regarding how we interact online. And then work to put that in practice wherever you interact socially, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Vine. Wait, is Vine still a thing? Okay, never mind. TikTok, how's that? That's a thing? Okay. Twitter, Pinterest, AOL, whatever it may be. And before you post, ask yourself, now this is important, before you interact on social media, before you post something, ask yourself, if it were Jesus sitting here at this keyboard instead of me, would he hit the enter key? So, I'm sure you've all seen this on social media. This is a good reminder to me and hopefully to you. I remember my parents, maybe your parents told you this, never wrestle with a pig because you get really dirty and the pig likes it. So on social media, I'm going to suggest that you pray before you post. You do your research. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And just because, oh yeah, that sounds good, that agrees with how I think about the other side of the aisle or whatever, it must be true. It's probably not. And then, if in doubt, my wife always tells me this, if I've written something and there's any doubt whatsoever in my mind over whether it's appropriate to post or not, it's not. All right, a third idea, and this brings us back to PACN. The mission of PACN, part of the mission of PACN, is to reach out to that 65% of women that choose abortion that feel that they have no alternative, they have no choice, they have no support, and give them hope. We need to let them know that Jesus loves them. So you can participate in outreach ministries this year. You could volunteer, you could support them financially, and there's a lot of organizations that are trying to bring Jesus to the world. I would suggest this would make a really good resolution for you. So this morning we've talked about three specific New Year's resolutions and how you might get started with them. As we've talked, God may have impressed on your heart a specific action that you need to take that is different from the ones that I've mentioned. Write it down. So why New Year's resolutions? We don't often hear about St. Patrick's Day resolutions or Happy Birthday resolutions or August the 17th resolutions. But the New Year is a perfect time to resolve to do things differently. We've got the shortest day of the year has passed. Christmas and New Year's have passed. We've got a year of promise and potential ahead of us. It's just stretched out there waiting for us. So my hope and prayer for you this morning is that you will make 2020 a year of resolution. Resolving to love Jesus, resolving to be active in the church, build the church up, resolving to reach out to those who do not know Jesus. And unlike New Year's resolutions, which fully depend on all of our efforts, these resolutions are resolutions that you will be able to keep. Because God's Holy Spirit, the power of God, the one who created the universe and everything in it, that power is in us. Do you think that that's enough for us to be able to accomplish these resolutions? I think it is. It's not you. It's Him working in you. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that today's message may encourage and challenge each of us, your people, to a more transparent, more authentic, and more power-filled walk with you. I pray that we can be vulnerable to one another and that we would earnestly seek to encourage and build up one another in our daily, in our hourly, in our minute-to-minute experience of walking with you. May your people, called by your name and called to be conformed into your image, find ways that we can put what we've heard from you into practice. Amen. You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.